Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh no, what yelling about?
You have to be intelligent.
Coming from a man who once dyed his hair blue.
Oh, that was way harsh.
He's not afraid to tell you how it is.
It is my show.
Boom, boom, boom.
His favorite player of all time is Rob Mikowiak.
You gotta be paping me.
Okay, we might have made that up. You're listening to Kevin Zepak.
Wheels come off the Joe Madden hippie van that they're riding around in.
On 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Morning, everybody. Welcome on in. It's 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zepak. I'm here mostly every Sunday morning, and I'm clearly here right now. It's nice to be here. Good morning. I'm here from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock today. We're going to bring in Casey Johnson from the Chicago Tribune at 8 o'clock, the longtime Bulls reporter. Excited to talk to Casey. Of course, you can join the conversation here yourself. Call in 312-644-6767 is the phone number. That's 312-644-6767. You can send in a text message as well. 67011 is how you do that. You just enter that into the address there and you send the text message. It's really quite easy. You can also send me a tweet and follow me on Twitter if you'd like to do that as well, at Kevbo _ on Twitter. And my producer, as always, Eli Hershkovitz. Eli, hello. What's your Twitter?
What's going on, Kevin? At Eli Herskovich.
Never changes. You are consistent and reliable, if nothing else. Thank you very much for being a constant in my life when I need it so badly. Another constant in my life as of late, and particularly the past week, but in general, the past couple of years, I guess you could say, the Chicago Bulls, a once proud franchise, I think you could say. You could call them, you know, because of guys like Michael Jordan in particular, and, you know, Scotty and Rodman and Phil, of course, all of these names that are just kind of, you know, when you get to that level, you can just kind of throw out one name and everybody knows who you're talking about. And the Bulls, you know, particularly when I was growing up in the 90s, they were the coolest thing on the planet. I mean, Michael Jordan was, even now we look back and he's still considered the greatest of all time. You could make the argument for LeBron, but we're certainly not going to do that on this program. I'm not going to get into that at all. Michael Jordan kind of carried the Bulls to those six titles, and they were everywhere. I mean, you couldn't go around anywhere in the 90s without seeing a Bulls jersey or a Jordan jersey or a pair of Jordan shoes, and you still really can't walk around without seeing a pair of Jordan shoes. But to see where they were with those six titles and with their fame, not only here in the United States, but internationally. I mean, the Bulls were a worldwide phenomenon. And just a short couple of decades later, here we are. And the Bulls are not only one of the biggest laughing stocks in the NBA, a dumpster fire, if you will, but in all of professional sports, the comedy of errors that has taken place within the Bulls organization over the past few years. And like I said, it's been magnified this season with the dismissal of Fred Hoiberg. You bring in Jim Boylan. You have a near mutiny with the team there. And the leadership committee was then formed to facilitate communication between Jim Boylan and the players. It's just been completely snowballing and gotten worse and worse and worse throughout the course of this season. And then this week, you see the Bulls in the news again for more bad reasons, more embarrassing reasons, frankly, with the trade of Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis to the Washington Wizards. Now, I'm not saying that the trade was awful or anything like that. Of course, every team is entitled to make as many personnel moves as they'd like to make, but I think the way that it was perceived, especially by Bobby Portis in particular, he seemed to be quite blindsided by the whole thing. And, He's made some comments. I mean, he was very emotional after the game last night. I should mention, by the way, that the Bulls did play the Wizards last night, the return game of Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker to the United Center. And, of course, the Bulls lost. The final score was 134 to 125. Not much defense there from the Bulls in that one, but it was a very emotional return for Bobby Portis. Of course, he's a very emotional guy. I think anybody that follows the Bulls has known that for the past couple of years. Unfortunately for Bobby, the first thing that a lot of people think about when you think about Bobby Portis is the, let's call it a skirmish that he was involved with Nico Mirotic before last season began, of course, where Bobby Portis threw that punch, which injured Nico and kept him out for a long time. You never really got Nico to, I guess, forgive Bobby Portis. And I think going forward from that point, at least from my perspective here, you know, being at the score 6 days a week and hearing callers and seeing people text in and everything about Bobby Portis, you couldn't mention the guy's name without somebody being, oh, so this guy's not a good teammate. He's a bad guy. He punched his guy. You know, he punched his teammate in practice. First of all, I don't know Bobby Portis personally. Obviously, when we bring in KC at 8 o'clock, I do want to ask him a little bit about how Bobby Portis is as a person, because as somebody like KC Johnson, who's been on the Bulls beat forever, I don't want to age or date KC or anything like that, but, you know, he's been around the block several times. He knows Bobby Portis really well. Bobby Portis played here for a really long time. And of course, there are so many more layers to Bobby Portis than just, oh, God, he's the guy that threw a punch at Nico Mirotic. So that's something else I want to get into with KC at 8 o'clock. You know, something a little goes a little bit deeper than what you just might perceive for Bobby Portis. But he and Jabari Parker made their return last night to the United Center. They got a video tribute, which I don't know. I liked Bobby Portis here, but I don't know if he was really deserving of a video tribute. I digress. Bobby Portis had a double-double last night. Jabari Parker had 20 points. They both had a little bit of that extra juice. You could tell coming back into this arena at the United Center. And really, in regards to Portis, I just kind of went over it. He wanted to be a Bull for life. He said so himself, despite the fact that he did turn down a contract extension before the season started, which is absolutely his right to do. And John Paxson, when he was on with McNeil and Parkins earlier this week, they got into that a little bit as well. But in regards to Jabari Parker, he was brought in on a 2-year contract, and even at the time, people were kind of, you know, a little skeptical about old Jabari Parker making his hashtag return to the city of Chicago. Everybody likes the story of the hometown kid coming back here and being able to play for the team he grew up with, the team that he rooted for. And I wanted to really get on board with Jabari Parker, but it never really seemed like a good fit right from the beginning. And as the season went on, you know, Fred Hoiberg, when he was still coaching the team, he didn't seem to really utilize Parker as much as maybe you would have assumed for a guy that was ticketed as a big free agent acquisition. And then when, of course, Hoiberg was fired and you bring in Jim Boylan, Parker's role really didn't change much more at all after that. If anything, he played even less under Jim Boylan than he did under Fred Hoiberg. So
it was a total 180, definitely. You know, at that point, we never had controversy. I always had his back, you know, with things that we had in-house problems with, and always had his back, you know, always had everybody's back. And just to see that relationship go sour, not from my end, but from his end, was just bad because, you know, you trust the guy. You know, he says all the things, and I understand it's his decisions or whatever. But it was just hard because it's just the relationship we had going into when he was a head coach.
That's the voice of Jabari Parker right there describing his relationship with Jim Boylan. And as I was alluding to, when Boylan was an assistant coach under Fred Hoiberg, apparently his whole, I guess you could say, demeanor and his relationship with a lot of players in particular was much different than it was when he became the head coach. And of course, you expect that to some extent. You know, when you're an assistant, you're not going to be able to do the same things and have the same sort of relationships with people that you have when you are actually the guy, when you're the head coach, or when you're the manager at the store or whatever. It's going to be different when you're the assistant manager, when you're actually in charge of everybody. You can't be everybody's buddy anymore. But I think what Jabari Parker was sort of talking about there was that, I mean, he said it himself, the exact words, a complete 180. And, you know, you can't be the exact same, but to pull in a 180 on a guy that you did kind of foster this relationship with, and he was described as a bit of a confidant with some of these players when he was still an assistant, just to have that relationship completely flip itself over, I don't know if that's the best look for the Chicago Bulls and for the Jim Boylan era at this moment. And like I said last night, the Bulls did lose 134-125, a pretty good game for Lauri Markkanen. He's been playing really well lately. I guess if you're looking for positives, you can definitely take that going forward. There aren't that many right now with the Bulls, but I think the play of Lauri Markkanen is one of them. Again, though, just for a guy like Jim Boylan, who, you know, so many times has brought up grit and toughness and energy and all of these kind of nebulous words that, you know, sound good. If this was, you know, 1985 and you're coaching a high school basketball team, of course, yeah, you'd want these guys to show grit and toughness. And I'm not saying you don't need those things. Of course, you need that to an extent in any professional sport. But I think the NBA in particular now has gone so far away from the old school hard-nosed grit and toughness and just kind of bearing down, if you pardon the pun there. But I think for all the talk of grit and hustle and you know busting your rear end in practice and really just kind of going all out there, you haven't really seen an improvement from these Bulls, certainly not defensively and not offensively either. You wouldn't expect them offensively to really make a leap forward under Jim Boylan when the rest of the league is kind of speeding up offense and trying to run and gun and space and pace and, you know, shoot more three-pointers. You really haven't seen that whatsoever from Jim Boylan. He's kind of taken it the other direction entirely, where he's starting to slow down the game and he's attempting to kind of bring back that archaic style, which really just doesn't play in the modern NBA. And you look at his record, 8-24, since he took over as the head coach, it doesn't really seem like it's working. I understand there's not a ton of talent from top to bottom on this Bulls roster, and they've been dealing with injuries all season long. You know, you haven't really seen the core, so to speak, guys like Markkanen and Zach LaVine and Wendell Carter Jr. You haven't really seen them play together enough to get a really good gauge or a handle on what any of these guys can do. And by the way, with that loss last night, the Bulls have set a franchise record with 10 straight home losses. So it's not exactly what you're looking for. You know, in regards to all of the injuries and all of that, I think it's you have to take it into account when you're describing Jim Boylan and what he's been able to do here, but I certainly don't think that he's really painted himself in any glory with the style of play that I was alluding to and going the opposite direction as the rest of the league. You know, you can't go out there and play like the Golden State Warriors if you're the Bulls because you don't have Steph Curry, you don't have Kevin Durant, you don't have the personnel to really quite pull it off, but I think that they're a decent enough model where you should aspire to, you know, be a little bit, you should be moving toward that and not away from it. And if Jim Boylan has a different philosophy, which I assume is the same philosophy that John Paxson has, and this all does start from the top of the organization and sort of trickle down, I don't think that it's really the right regime right now for the NBA in 2019. Phone number here, once again, is 312-644-6767. If you'd like to chime in here on the state of the Bulls and, you know, everything that's gone down over this past week with the trade of Portis and Parker to Washington. Otto Porter Jr., of course, coming back here from Washington, who I think is a pretty decent player. I'll talk a little bit more about him after a timeout. Also, later in the program, I want to talk about the White Sox and the Cubs a little bit. Pitchers and catchers report already next week, which is wonderful. It's certainly one of the best times of the year, in my opinion. And this past week, Pecota, which is an analytic service, I guess you could say, to really kind of put it down to a simple level, it's basically a predictive service through Baseball Prospectus that makes predictions for the next season. And they weren't too kind to the White Sox or the Cubs. One I'm surprised about, one I'm not so surprised about, but I want to talk about those Pecota ratings, rankings and projections a little bit later in the program. And also, I didn't see any of this last night, but apparently there was football on last night. Eli, did you see the football?
I did see the football.
Were you thrilled about the football?
I was not thrilled about the football.
I also wasn't thrilled about the football. I didn't know about the football whatsoever. So if you saw any of this football from last night, the Alliance of American Football, I want to know how it was. Because I not only did I not know about the football, but I didn't watch any of the football. If you watched any of the Alliance of American Football, please let me know. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. 67011 is how you send in a text message. Casey Johnson coming up at the top of the hour on the Bulls. My name is Kevin Zipak, here till 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Sadaransky to go underneath the Portis, up and in with a little baby hook on the right side.
Yeah, well, they had a switch and Chris Dunn was on him, so that's a wise play to look at Bobby Portis down low at 6'9" with Chris Dunn on his back.
Just rejoice. It was a great, great moment for us, you know, to beat our friends. You know, we put a lot of time into this. This is our job. It was a big moment for us. You know, we got traded and, you know, we really wanted to win this game, you know, really bad.
Welcome back in. 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zipak. I'm here until 9 o'clock this morning. And then at 9, I believe Shep is here. We've got Nick Shepkowski and Anthony Heron. And they'll be in here at 9. But until then, you got me. We're going to bring in Casey Johnson at the top of the hour, the Bulls man from the Chicago Tribune. Looking forward to talking to Casey about everything in the Bulls-verse right now, from Jim Boylan to John Paxson to Jabari Parker to Bobby Portis, which was the voice you heard there on the way in. Also heard the voices of Chuck Swirsky and Bill Wennington on the call last night as the Bulls were defeated by the Washington Wizards by a score of 134-125. And you heard Portis there talking about rejoicing with Jabari Parker coming back in here so quickly after they were traded just a few days ago. You very rarely see in any sport a trade go down and then these two teams meeting each other so quickly after that. And you definitely saw kind of an extra, I don't really know how to quite quantify it, but I guess just a little bit of extra sauce that Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis had last night. I mean, Parker with 20 points, several dunks in that game, including one where he really put Lauri Markkanen on a poster. And you also saw Bobby Portis. He didn't shoot well from the field. I believe he's 4-for-11, but a double-double for Bobby Portis and a few choice glares toward the Bulls bench a few times during that game. So I understand that it was very, very satisfying for those guys to come back and perform the way they did and get a win for their new team. And, you know, Jabari Parker also said after last night's game that he really doesn't hold any ill will toward the organization. You know, he talked a little bit about the deterioration of his relationship with Jim Boylan, but I don't think he said it in a way that was spiteful or petty or anything like that. I think that Jabari was as, I don't want to say PC here, but he was as nice as he could have possibly been when asked so candidly about his relationship with Jim Boylan after he became the head coach and how that relationship sort of fell apart. But he's being diplomatic there. I'll say it that way. That makes sense. But I'm not really sure here where the organization would like to be, because with the acquisition of Otto Porter Jr., he seems like a guy who, despite the fact that he's only 25, I think he's a better fit for this team than perhaps Jabari Parker was, or maybe even Bobby Portis, because Otto Porter is a guy that can play a little bit of defense. You know, he's a pretty good defender for a wing. You know, he can move a little bit. He could play the two or the three. He's a really good shooter, which the Bulls haven't had in a while. And I think one of the reactions after the Bulls made this trade, and you can weigh in on this as well. Once again, the phone number 312-644-6767. I think most Bulls fans from the beginning of this season have embraced this tank mentality where if you don't get the number one pick overall and you can't bring in Zion Williamson, then the entire season has been for nothing. And I think with the acquisition of Porter, a lot of people kind of had pause on that because seemingly Otto Porter Jr. makes you better this season than you would having Jabari Parker, you know, riding the pine. So I'm not really sure what the exact plan is for this season. Clearly, the playoffs are completely out of the question. The Bulls are one of the worst teams in the league at 13-43. But John Paxson was on with Dan McNeil and Danny Parkins a few days ago, which was an excellent interview. You can hear the entirety of it at 670thescore.com if you haven't heard it already. But they had a conversation with Pax. It got a little contentious at times, but they had specifically some questions about the direction of the franchise, the trade itself, and just all of these other things, because there are so many questions for Pax right now, and Dan and Danny did a great job with it.
Our young players aren't to the point where I think the great player wants to come and play. Our goal, and I've said this many times, our goal is to develop. We believe Markkanen has a high ceiling. We believe Wendell Carter has a high ceiling. We believe a draft pick that we get in this draft is going to be a player with a high ceiling. We're in a different position than some of these other teams. And, you know, I know that's a, you know, anybody can be critical of us, but I'll give you an example. And I know that no one likes to hear me or anyone else point back in time, but when we did have money and we had a very good basketball team with Derek and those guys, we were in the game for LeBron and those guys. Now, obviously we didn't win out, but we were in the game. But we have to be realistic, and we can't make decisions and with the hope that something like that will happen. We have to be realistic in where we're at in this development. And, you know, again, we're not making excuses. This is very hard for our fan base. We understand it's very hard for us to be here, but we have to remain patient. We can't make, you know, we can't make decisions that are going to, you know, be long-term mistakes for us at this point in time. We have to see how good Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine, Wendell Carter can be. And unfortunately for us, and it's been kind of the theme for several years, you know, we just haven't been able to get all our guys on the floor. You know, Wendell going down was a, you know, we would have loved to seen how he progressed over the second half of the season, but he's going to be out for the rest of the year. So those things are difficult, but we have to be realistic, and that's just the honest God truth.
John, are you comfortable with the teams and the organization's reputation among star players in this league?
Well, I don't, you know, until you get an opportunity to get in front of people, then how do you know how they feel about you? And if you have, you know, if there's specific examples about there of a player, you know, someone bashing our organization, tell me about it. But I do believe that when you get an opportunity to sit down with people and present yourself and show what you're about and who you are, to be very candid, there is, you know, there's a lot of things that are created just through perception, and we get that. I mean, you can't fight that in this day and age anymore. We can be criticized, any organization can be criticized for the most minuscule thing, and it can be made into something, you know, that you know, takes on a life of its own, and all of a sudden you're looked at it in a certain way. No, I'm not worried about that. I think when it comes to agents who have the players, when the agents, for the most part, respect us. They respect our organization because that's who we deal with primarily when we're talking to, you know, about contracts, we're talking about free agency, all those type of things. And when you have a good relationship with the agents and then you can get a player into your building, then that thing can, you know, then good things can happen. But my point in this whole thing about being realistic is we see what's going on in the league right now. The great players want to play with other great players. They want to create the, you know, the super teams and get, you know, get in a position where you're able to win championships. We have to develop. We have to, you know, through the draft, hopefully, that's the one way you have true control over. We have to see if some of our guys have that potential. And then at some point in time, you know, maybe you can attract a guy that wants to play with them. And then all of a sudden you're going. So,
right.
You know, and that's just the reality right now.
So, John, are you saying then that the perception that exists that veteran players, star players, don't want to come to your team because of the organization, borrowing your predecessor's verbiage, is fiction?
Well, I don't hear any specifics about our organization from anyone.
Anthony Davis would be one.
Well, no, he's not. Look, has he said bad things about our organization, or he just doesn't want to play in our hometown? If you don't, you know, we've done our work, you know, we've inquired, obviously you always do, but you know, I mean, you know, if that's the way, Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, there have been specifics that people in league circles have said have painted you guys in a bad light, whether it's...
What are they? Tell me.
The press release after Tibbs was let go, seemingly kind of walking over the job that he did here. The issue with...
But specific players have commented on that? Is that what you're telling me? I'm just trying to grasp, because there's a lot of generalities here that you're telling me, and I'm just asking a question.
No,
you're telling me that the players and have this perception, and but you're not giving me, you're not telling me any names, you're not giving me any specifics. So
after Yeah, after the Kings played here this year, and after the Jim Boylan issue with the near mutiny and the players contacting the union, they beat you guys at the United Center, and they're coming off the court.
That's a falsehood right there. They never contacted the union. They never did. See, we saw Adam Silver shortly after that. Adam told us no one from the union ever called the league. See, that's where it makes my point from a little while ago. Little things take on a life of their own, and they become facts even when they're not. So you're using as an example something that didn't even happen. And so if that's hurting our perception, well, so be it, because we can't do anything about it.
Oh, my God, that's wonderful. Just inject that directly into my veins, please. Danny Parkins getting snippy with guests is something that I'm always here for. And you can, of course, hear that entire interview with Bulls VP John Paxson from McNeil and Parkins on 670thescore.com. That was from Thursday, by the way. I really liked their... the discussion about the perception of the Bulls, or not even around the league, but here locally, I want to know what you feel is the perception of the Bulls. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. What was your perception of that interview, for one? I know a lot of people don't have the highest opinion of John Paxson right now. If he was a stock, I think his stock would be very low right now. And this is his third, almost fourth go-around now in trying to rebuild the team here. You really don't see executives in this day and age get that many opportunities, but for whatever reason, maybe it was because he hit a couple of important jumpers back in 1993, John Paxson has gotten so many different bites at this apple, so to speak, and many would say that it's undeserved. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. What do you feel about the Bulls regime at this current moment and where they're headed? Do you feel like Paxson is the guy to put this thing together once more? Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. If you're looking to take family or friends out to a game, try a Chicago Wolves fan 4-pack. 4 tickets, 4 Vienna beef hot dogs, 4 drinks, and popcorn at one low price. Enjoy free parking this season, also courtesy of Kia. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for ticket information. You can also send us a text message in here at 67011, and it's about what you'd expect rolling in from the text line. Not a lot of love and support for John Paxson, and I imagine Bryson on the south side feels the same way. We'll go out to the south side now and talk to Bryson. Good morning, man. What's going on?
Hey, good morning. Great show this morning.
Appreciate it. What's on your mind?
I just heard that John Paxson clip, and I felt some way about the Bulls for a while now, but, you know, it just seems like this crew, speaking about John Paxson and Gar Forman and Reinsdorf, doesn't have the moxie or the wherewithal to be in the circles that make players want to come to teams. I look at a team like the Thunder, who shut down in Seattle, went to Oklahoma, got the number one pick, then got Russell Westbrook, and they're perennial playoff team. You look at other teams around the league who they don't want to be the bottom feeder and they don't want to remain there. And so I'm just so confused that, well, I'm not actually not confused anymore. I used to be, because I liked John Paxson back in the day.
Yeah.
But it's just so many decisions from like Parkins said, the Thibodeau thing. And for him to say, you know, well, these things are things that aren't true. Well, why don't you somehow reach out to your fans and say, hey, guys, this isn't true. This is the truth. This is what's really going on. You know, but just to sit there and say, you know, oh, well, that's not true. I mean, well, give us the truth, man. Well, give us the truth about Derrick Rose. Give us the truth about Tibbs. Give us the truth about why you hired Fred Hoiberg. And don't give us these things. You know, we all know that Hoiberg was a patsy. You know what I'm saying? And we're looking at the same thing with Boylan now, and it's just so upsetting. But it's nothing. It's like nothing we can do about it. We just have to sit here and be Bulls fans and be the laughingstock of the league. And I just want more understanding. I want more transparency from my team, but I think I'm probably asking too much. I just don't think John Paxson has the moxie to get in front of players. And I'm just using moxie because I can't think of another word right now. But I don't think that he has what it takes to get the same attention that other players, that other GMs get.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate the call. Great call. Thank you very much for checking in, Bryson, on the South Side. I think that is the mentality that a lot of Bulls fans have right now. They don't think that Pax has that, I guess you could say, clout or that ability to really, you know, draw in the appeal of these big-name free agents.
They're not interviews. They're interrogation.
There's Pax right there. And he does get a little defensive at times. You know, Pax does pride himself on being a, you know, hard-nosed individual, but I think the irony there is that maybe when he is prodded a little bit like he was on Thursday by Mac and Parkins, I think the irony is that it shows that maybe he is a little bit thin-skinned, which I think is hilarious because he does pride himself on being, you know, this tough, old-school, gritty guy. Let's stay on the South Side and check in with Matthew here. Matthew, good morning, man. What's up?
Morning. How's it going?
Great. What's going on?
Yeah, I did disagree a little bit. You know, you said that it seems like the fan base is getting a little frustrated, mm-hmm. or that John Paxson is coming across as a little defensive. I would say we're very frustrated, and he's a lot defensive. They're simply, finally, the Sea Red Nation is coming around to the fact that this is a rudderless ship. They have no direction, and they hit the reset button, and John Paxson thinks that he can every year, just because he gets away with it with ownership, he thinks he can get away with it with the Bulls fans, where he can just speak things into truth. No, this is not our fourth rebuild. This is like our first or second or a third, or it's a continuation of a rebuild. And fans have to learn to be patient. Well, John, we've been waiting forever. You lucked into Derrick Rose, and if it wasn't for that, they'd be one of the worst franchises over the last 20 years.
Oh yeah, that was a huge stroke of luck. Just getting D. Rose. Yeah.
And the minute that you bring that, you know, the minute you mention that, they want to talk about, well, if he hadn't gotten hurt, well, you were lucky to have him in the first place, and you didn't develop the players around him. You couldn't get talent around him to protect him, so that he didn't have to live on the paint, and he wouldn't get banged up the way he did. And again, the best they can do is what? We have Carlos Boozer for a few years.
Right,
we have
right.
Paul Gasol bust out. I mean, great player in his prime, nowhere near his prime. John can talk all day about lack of specifics or about how agents don't tell him that their players don't want to come here. Well, they're not going to tell you that because at best you are serving as a sounding board or an opportunity for them to use your bidding against another team. But you're not attracting anybody, John. And if he can't figure that out, and if the ownership can't figure it out, then we have to figure it out for them. We have to turn our backs on them, just like the Bears fans did, where they finally realized they had to clean house.
Appreciate the call. Thank you very much, Matthew, for checking in on the South Side. And a texter here from the 619 area code. I wonder if he's out in San Diego at this time. Boy, it's early out there. Look at the attendance numbers. He can get away with this. And that's a big part of it. The Bulls remain near the top of the league in attendance. I believe Forbes just came out with their franchise estimations over the past few days, and the Bulls were, what, third or fourth in that list? They were right there behind, you know, some of the heavy hitters in the NBA, so people are still going out to the United Center, and I don't really blame them for doing that because, hell, going to Bulls games is fun. You know, I've been to a couple games this year myself, and of course you go in there with the anticipation that, yeah, you know, you're not going to be watching, you know, an elite NBA team or anything like that, but you go and you have a good time, you eat, you drink, you be merry, you cheer, and, you know, maybe somebody will shoot you a t-shirt in the crowd if you're real lucky. But where is the line between, you know, being faithful as a fan and supporting a team, and then where does it cross over to, okay, I'm going to protest, I'm not going to go to the games, I'm not going to spend any money on this team until there is a change? I think it's a really fine line that fans have to ride, because you do want to be known as a loyal fan, you know, through thick and thin and all of that. But on the other side, you also want to be able to enable that change and feel like you are, you know, doing your own part to kind of facilitate that change as well. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Before we take a timeout here, let's go out to Chris. He's been waiting in Hoffman Estates. Chris, good morning. What's up?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I was just going to talk about the last caller kind of took my thunder about Derrick Rose being complete luck. And the only reason we were ever good at with John Paxson is because of Derrick Rose, and they never put anything around him. Second thing, he's in his, like, what, third shot, and he's got Markkanen as, like, his, like, top guy. I have no respect for Lauri Markkanen.
Really?
Lauri Markkanen's been injured constantly. I haven't seen him, like, play, like, a stretch of, like, more than, like, what, like, 2 months in a row? I got no respect for Lauri Markkanen. I don't care about him. So I don't care about the Bulls. The Bulls have done nothing since Michael Jordan left. They don't have anything. The fact of the matter is, LeBron was in the East, and they did nothing to go against LeBron. LeBron just dominated the East for, like, what, 10 years? So basically, the Bulls had no chance anyway, so I don't know why people even get up in a huff about this. There was no way the Bulls were going to do anything unless they got LeBron. So the fact of the matter is, John Paxson had a situation where no matter what he did, he wasn't going to win anything. So that's it. I don't know why people even talk about the Bulls. The Bulls are worthless. The Bulls haven't done a damn thing in a long time. I don't even know why you guys talk about them. You might as well not, because they're like a minor league-based basketball team. They don't put anything on the court worth anything. They don't pay the right people. They have the worst people running their organization, including the owner, who also runs the Sox. And what have the Sox done in, like, 10 years, 15 years?
Well, nothing. Yeah, not much either. Appreciate the call. Thank you very much for checking in from Hoffman Estates. I love this kind of public therapy session that we're having this morning, where people are just kind of letting out all of their anger regarding the Bulls. It does seem like that is the prevailing opinion right now on the Chicago Bulls, and you know, it's hard to argue. You know, you can have faith and you can have hope that they are going to turn it around. I like Lauri Markkanen a lot. I think he could be one of the pillars of this rebuild and a centerpiece of the franchise. But it does seem like there's a lot of skepticism that John Paxson can be the guy to put it together, because he hasn't shown the ability to do so really in his career, in his tenure here. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. My name's Kevin Zipak, here until 9 o'clock. We're going to bring in KC Johnson, the Bulls beat man from the Chicago Tribune at 8. After a timeout here, we're going to get back out to your calls. Perry, I see you waiting in Nashville, Tennessee. So we'll get to you and anybody else that would like to chime in here on the Bulls and the direction in which they're headed. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. My name is Kevin Zipak here on 670 The Score.
There have been three rebuilds. Now, I wouldn't even consider the first one a rebuild when we first got the job, because we didn't have anything to do with that. All we did, I came in, and we turned it around. So how many? There haven't been a lot of rebuilds. There was one when we got Derrick Rose. I would say that was one. And now there's this one. There have not been other ones. So I think that is a misstatement. You know, I do. There have not been a lot of rebuilds. I get fans' frustration. I'm frustrated. We're all frustrated. I'm as passionate and loyal about the Bulls organization as anybody out there. So, you know, I mean, that's just a fact.
Welcome back to 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zipak, here until 9 o'clock this morning, talking about the Chicago Bulls, mostly. We're going to bring in KC Johnson in about 15 minutes. Of course, you know him from the Chicago Tribune. On the way in there, you heard the voice of John Paxson, the Bulls' vice president. He was on with McNeil and Parkins Thursday. It was a really good interview. I suggest you check it out in its entirety at 670thescore.com, and you hear Pax there getting a little bit combative with Mac and Parkins regarding the number of different rebuilds that he has overseen since he was installed also as the GM back in 2003. And I don't want to go through all of them individually, but of course there was the Heinrich Gordon Deng era, which was the initial, I guess you could call it a rebuild, that he oversaw, which, you know, as likable as those teams were, I mean, who doesn't love Andres Nocioni? I mean, the best that they ever did was, what, win one playoff series?
Yeah, sweep the Heat.
They swept
the
Heat.
That's a success?
And, I mean, that was fun, but they didn't really accomplish too much. And then they luck into Derrick Rose, and they get to a conference final, which, again, was pretty much the best that they did during that era. And, of course, injuries completely derailed Derrick Rose's career until this season, in fact, when he kind of had a renaissance. But, you know, the amount of frustration is very palpable right now with Bulls fans. You've heard from a lot of them this morning. And actually, I want to get back out to the phone lines here because we do have a lot of people waiting on hold. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Let's get out to Nashville, and it's Perry who's been waiting very patiently. Good morning, Perry. What's going on?
Hey, Kevin. Good morning. I liked your comment earlier about the therapy session. That was pretty funny. The Bulls, you know, I think the one word the other caller was looking for regarding the Bulls is these guys, this regime, they can't relate to today's players. I strongly believe that. In their message to the players, in the recruiting, and just their image, I think a player looks at this team and can't relate. Now, I'm not a big fan of prima donnas, which a lot of the players are, but there are still some tough coaches that relate to young players that are older. So I think that's one of the biggest problems. And then take that into the fact that from the beginning when Paxton started, that Aldridge trade, just from there till now, it's just been a bad signing.
Yeah.
If you look at that. And I think that's really what it is. You look at the Mavericks. Those guys like the image that organization portrays. So I think really it's really more than just that. Because look at Chicago. It's a great city, great food, great entertainment. I mean, it's a great place to be. This weather thing's BS because most of the months are fine. You know what I mean? Most of the months are fine.
Yeah, everybody's got a nice coat they can wear. The weather shouldn't be a detriment.
Exactly. I don't think so. So anyway, I'll let you go with that. But I really think that you look at Foreman, I don't know why he even has a job personally. But you look at these guys, they can't relate to players. They can't talk to players. They can't recruit players. That's my thought. Thank you.
That's the truth. Thank you very much, Perry, for checking in. Pretty much spot on there. And I like
that's just a fact.
Oh, Pax. And I'm glad you brought up the LaMarcus Aldridge trade as well. That's not one that is mentioned as much anymore, but trading away LaMarcus Aldridge for Tyrus Thomas, I believe that was 2005. I might not be exactly sure on the year there of that, but you know, LaMarcus Aldridge has gone on to be a perennial all-star, spectacular career. Tyrus Thomas has been out of the NBA for quite some time. So that's another red mark or a black mark or some kind of mark on John Paxson's resume. Let's go out to Joliet there. We'll find Lamani. Good morning. What's going on? How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. What's going on?
Okay, so here's my thing. I mean, I know Chicagoans are a little frustrated right now. I'm frustrated.
A little bit, yeah.
I'm angry. You know, even though I blame John Paxson for everything, I blame the fans of Chicago as well, too, because we could change this right now. Stop going to Bulls games. I mean, we sit here and we complain for all these years, but yet the United Center sells out almost every single game. If we stop going to games, just maybe they'll listen to us fans and make some changes around here. I'm sick and tired, man. As a Bulls fan, we don't deserve this, man. And that's all I have to say.
Appreciate the call. Thanks very much for checking in. Yeah, people have discussed boycotting and mass protests and everything before.
I'm well aware that there's a March 6th protest of Myanmar, those type of things.
And yes, there have been calls to boycott, to protest, or whatever, however you want to phrase it. But I think that's going to be really difficult to get so many people on board that, you know, it's one of those, it's kind of tough. You know, it's hard to get 20,000 people to not show up to a Bulls game. A texter checks in here from the 219, Northwest Indiana, my people. And he says, I believe the Bulls are third in attendance. As long as the Bulls are up there in the top 3, 4, 5 in attendance, and as long as they are as lucrative as they have been, it's going to be tough to be able to facilitate that change. And really, I mean, and I'll ask KC about this, if they don't get an extremely high draft pick, I mean, of course, everybody is enamored with Zion Williamson, and why wouldn't you be? But I think this is really a three-player draft. I think if you end up in the top three, you got a shot at something. But if for some reason they fall out of that top three, what's the plan at that point? What was all this for? All of this, you know, Jim Boylan crap and the humiliation and the public mockery and everything. What was it all for? You know, there's so much riding on this draft lottery. They're putting all their chips on the basket, or in this basket, and on the basket as well. 312-644-6767. Dennis is out in Aurora. Morning, Dennis. What's up?
Hey, good morning. See, you hit it on the nail.
The issue is, if you free agents, I'm not worried about whether a free agent is going to come or not. The reason why is because the players want to play with each other in these super teams, and only a handful of teams are getting free agents at the end of the day. What the Bulls have to do is pick a direction and pick that direction and decide, okay, I'm going to tank. I'm going to get in the top three. I'm going to build me a good team through the draft, and I'm going to get good like Philadelphia, and then free agents will come. That's the plan. What my issue with Paxton is, they don't pick a plan. I'm watching the game the other day, and I'm thinking, why are they even winning? Don't win. You're not going anywhere unless you get a top three pick. That's what they need to do. And I'll hang up and let you guys talk about it.
Appreciate the call. Thank you very much for checking in from Aurora. That is Dennis. And yeah, I mean, like I said earlier in the show, that's kind of, it seems like that's the direction that most fans want to go this season, is, you know, full on tank mode and just stink out loud and lose every single game and get the best possible odds, you know, at getting that number one pick. But it's hard to have it both ways. Do you want to, you know, embrace a good team, or do you want them to completely stink out loud and just kind of completely waste an entire year? You know, there's some sort of a balance that you have to strike there. Adam is in Carroll Stream. Morning, Adam. What's up?
What's up, Kevin? The voice of reason of Five and Five.
Ah, well, somebody's got to do it, right?
Exactly. So my basketball IQ is -0. I'm going to say that at first. You know, I was more of a Jordan fan than a basketball fan, I have realized over the years.
But yeah,
that Paxton interview that he had with Perkins and McNeil was more like, it sounded like a guy pleading for his job more than a general manager of an organization that had, you know, plans and not excuses. And it was just really telling of where the Bulls are at overall, I think.
Appreciate the call. Thank you very much, Adam, from Carroll Stream. And I think there are a lot of people like you out there, Adam, that were more Michael Jordan fans than Bulls fans, not even here in Chicago, but across the world. I mean, he became bigger than the Bulls organization. He became bigger than the NBA itself. And I think that the shadow that he kind of cast over the organization for a while did affect, you know, people wanting to come here and play within that shadow. But he's been retired. He's been gone for so long at this point now that, while, of course, you still associate Michael with the Bulls, you know, so much time has passed where you don't have that kind of looming shadow anymore, the intimidation that it would be following him, because it's been so long. And now you have a separate problem. It's that John Paxson has sort of hurt the gloss, if you will, of this team and how they're perceived around the league. JT's on the South Side. Morning, JT. What's going on?
Hey, Kevin, love the show, man. I just want to touch on that, how he has the nerve to refute the awful reputation that this team has around the league. Have we forgotten how they sabotaged Tom Thibodeau's final season? Those players quit on him on his final year because they got the word from the front office, whether it was through Randy Brown or Pete Myers, that forget about it, boys, this guy's a lame duck anyway, he's out of here. He turned Thibodeau's tenure into here into a miserable experience his final year. And then, oh, by the way, on his way out, Reinsdorf completely throws him under the bus,
yeah,
with that parting shot that he did. That gets around the league. Players see that. Players see how they treat their coaches,
yep,
and
yep,
their former players, and they got an awful reputation around the league. How he could deny that is silly.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thank you for the call, JT. I definitely don't like the way that they handled Tom Thibodeau's exit here from Chicago. Now, you could say hindsight 2020, Thibs didn't exactly set the world on fire in Minnesota during his time up there, but I think, you know, they certainly haven't been anywhere near as successful as they were under Tom Thibodeau since Fred Hoiberg or Jim Boylan took over. Going to get one more call in here before we hit the break, and we're going to bring in Casey Johnson at the top of the hour. Zach is on the west side of the city. Good morning, Zach. What's going on?
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to say the Bulls have to change that image. Just like the Cubs and the Bears changed their image over time to win, it starts at the top and to go almost 20 years with at least John Paxson. You know, it's absurd, and you don't look in any other sport, baseball, basketball, hockey, nobody will keep their job that long and not produce a championship. They got rid of Joel Quenneville, and he won three of them. You know what I mean? So I just think the Reinsdorf has to really look at themselves, you know, and see, do we want to win a championship? I think they're more focused on what's going on the baseball side of the era and not what's going on basketball, because basketball is terrible right now.
Appreciate the call. Thank you very much, Zach, on the West Side. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout here, bring in Casey Johnson, Bulls beat reporter at 8 o'clock. But the bottom of the hour is brought to you by National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic. Visit Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic in Schaumburg, February 22nd to the 24th. The nation's largest upland hunting and conservation expo focuses on bird dogs, wild game cooking, and hunting heritage. With over 400 vendors and great seminars, Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic has something for you. Visit pheasantfest.org. My name is Kevin Zipak. I am here until 9 o'clock this morning talking about the Bulls later on in the program. Also want to talk about these Pecota projections for the White Sox and the Cubs. And if anybody watched the football last night, please let me know how that went. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Casey Johnson from the Chicago Tribune is up next here. My name is Kevin Zipak on 670 The Score.
They're not interviews. They're interrogation. That's just a fact.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.